Okay, so good morning. Boker Tov, everybody. Let us begin. We are on Yud Ches Amud Beis, in the middle of a great story, which we remind ourselves yesterday. We had the story of Maisa B'Chosid Echad. There was a person who was a great person, a chosid. It's either Rabbi Yehuda B'Dilai or Rabbi Yehuda B'Bava, normally when we use the terminology throughout Shas, of Chosid Echad. So he got into a fight with his wife. He gave too much stock on Erev Rosh Hashanah. She was upset. They had zero food in the house. And they got into a little bit of a quarrel. I brought down the beautiful pshat yesterday from the Rishol Salanta that said he was upset at himself for getting upset, not upset at his wife. She was taka right. He shouldn't have given away the last pieces of tzedakah. Others said the whole thing was a dream over here. They didn't go into the cemetery. In any event, he goes into the cemetery. He hears these two young girls talking to each other, who are both dead, obviously. And for various reasons, one of them couldn't leave the cemetery. She hadn't fully decomposed. So she told the other one, go out and see what's happening in the world. And that's what she did. She comes back and tells the one that was left behind what's going on. She asked her, and she told her there's going to be a destruction of all the crops that are planted early. So Rabbi Yehuda B'Bava, the Chosid Echad, he planted late. He was successful. Everybody else's crops died. Next year, Rosh Hashanah says a great idea. Went back into the cemetery. Here's the two ruchos talking to each other. They tell him basically the same story. One can't leave. She hasn't still decomposed yet. So the other one goes off and flies out and says that the world is going to have a bad crop if you plant late. So this last year planted early, got trouble. This year they all planted late, but he planted early and he was successful. Everybody was not successful. So that's where we left off yesterday. We're four lines from the top of the wide lines on Yud Ches Amud Beis. A little bit behind, we'll catch up in Mitzvah Shem. Today we're learning Lili Nishmas, Sylvia Rosenblum, Sara Techna Bas Meir HaKohen. All the shams we learned for Shavuot Aliyah. Okay, so we pick up Armelo Ishto. His wife says to him, listen, honey, you've been very successful. How come everybody else is not successful? You're the only one around that's successful. Armelo Ishto, Mimei Ma Ishtakad, Shokol Olam Kulo Loka, Shokol Loka. V'yakshav, Shokol Olam Kulo Nishtof, V'shokol Lo Nishtof. 2 years ago, everybody else's crops were destroyed, yours wasn't. Last year, everybody else's crops were destroyed, yours wasn't, for the different types of destructions that they had. One was Shidafon, and one was a Likui, or some sort of a plague. In any event, everybody else, the borrowed the first year, the plague the second year. So why are you successful? So he told her, Sochlo Koladwar Malalu. He told her exactly what happened. Again, our original question that this whole Gemara has brought down is, we want to know, do the Mesim know what's going on in the world? So Amru, so the Mason said, Lo hayu yamim muatim achinof lukitata bein isht. So Gemara says, Amru, Lo hayu yamim muatim achinof lukitata bein ishto shalos chosid obein ima shal osa riva. So happened that within the next couple of days, some period of time happened, not too long, the Gemara says, that the woman who was the mother of the young girl whose body never decomposed went and got into a fight with the chosid's wife, Yehuda's wife. And Amr Law. So she told her, Rav Yehuda's wife told this woman over here, she told her, L'chi ve'erech bitcha, she kvura b'machatzela shel konim. Your daughter over here, I'll show you, she's buried in reeds over here. She doesn't have regular tachrichim to decompose. That's why she hasn't been able to decompose. And we brought down ideas that when the body hasn't decomposed, the neshama is still attached somehow to this world. All the Farshim ask over here, what do you mean? Her mother didn't know how she was buried? So they bring down an interesting possibility. Then the other brings down that the grave robbers had actually stolen the shrouds from her, and she wasn't aware that her daughter was buried in these reeds that don't really decompose. In any event, now the cat is out of the bag. Lushon Acheris, next year, Rav Yehuda Bava, whoever it was, the Maisa Chosid Echad, goes to the cemetery, expects to hear the same things. Holach, V'lon B'dei Sekvaros. He goes there to hear what's going on in the world. Bishama Osan Rucho Shemasapa Zumzu. Here's the two Ruchos, the two young girls that had passed away, talking to each other. Amalah Chaverti, Boi Vinasho Biolam. So the one who was able to fly around the world said to the one who wasn't able to fly around, who was the daughter of the mother that got into the fight with the Chosid's wife, and said, let's go fly around the world. Vinishma Echor Apargin, and we'll listen to what's going on. Like the Vilna Gaon said, this was Rosh Hashanah, and the Psak Din came out, and let's hear what the Psak Din is. Ma Parani is Boli Olam, all the things that are going to befall the world, the navigating things are going to happen. So I'm a Locha Verity. However, the girl whose mother got into the quarrel, who couldn't leave the grave, said, Hani Cheni, no, you got to leave it alone. Dvarim Shed Bini Levein Cha, our conversations, Kvar Nishmo Ben Achayim, are hurt. In other words, we can't keep on talking like this because somebody's listening in. So, in other words, the Gemara says, the end of this interesting story over here, Alma Yode, maybe, you see over here that they know what's going on. So, that's a raya to the question that we had, do they or do they not know what's going on? Gemara says, no, Dilma Inishachrina Shachav Yazo. How do you know? Maybe somebody else died and just told them that, listen, this is what's going on in the world. So, maybe that's how they know. So, you can't bring me a raya from here. You get a very esoteric type of a Gemara, we can't fully understand it, but boy, is it interesting. In any event, V'yamalahu. So, I'm saying, maybe Shach V'yazo V'yamalahu. Maybe that's how they know. They don't really have independent idea. Somebody just died and told them. Okay, Toshbach, we're going to try again. Do they know, do they not know? The Ziri have a mafkid zuzi gabe ushbezichsei. Again, another two great, interesting stories we're going to have over here now. So Ziri was a great Talmud Chacham. He had money that was he gave over to the innkeeper that he stayed by. Ados he does until he came back and forth. It's actually the lashon over here is unusual until he came and he went. So it's only he went and he came. In any event, that's the stall that the Gemara has sometimes when Farshim bring down. Lebei Rav, when he came back from the base medrash, Shriva, the woman had died. So now he didn't know where his money was. So Azul Basra L'Chotzer Mavis. He goes to the Chotzer Mavis to ask her. If you're a Ziri, you can go ask the dead what happened. The Chotzer Mavis, some say, is a cemetery. Others suggest it's some sort of a metaphysical idea. Whatever it was, he went to ask her, what's going on? What's with the money that I deposited with you? Amalai said to her, Zuzi Hecha, where is my money? I need this money. Mustamba wasn't, as we'll see in the next story, it wasn't only his money, it may have been stock of money, whatever it was, he needed his money. Amalei, so she told him, Zil Shaklinu Mituse, bit, or some have the gear said, Sinora, not Bitsinora, go and take it from underneath the threshold over there, the dasha of the door, Biduch Plan, in a certain place. In other words, I hid the money safely. Again, more elsewhere discusses that when somebody gives you money, you have to take care of it well. One of the ways to take care of it well is to bury it someplace, to put it someplace. That was their safe deposit boxes in those days. And by the way, she said, Ve'emala li'ima, and go and tell my mother, Tishdar li misrakoi v'guvsoi de'kuchla b'hadi planisa de'osu l'mochar. She said, go and tell my mother to bring me my comb and my makeup over here. Before she said, this is the pathos of the story over here, that Nebuchadnezzar, she died very young. So she still had a mother. And she's telling her mother, bring me my makeup. A young girl is concerned with her appearance much more so than an older woman is. So it's to show us the idea over here, the pathos of her dying at such a young age. Not lav davka, she really needs a comb and the makeup over here. So it's again teaching us ideas. So the Gemara says, what do you see from over here? She knew that so-and-so was going to die the next day. So therefore the dead know what's going on. Amo Yode, again, here's the Raya. So Gemara says, no, maybe not. Dilma, Duma, Kodimu Machazlu. Duma is like the Malach HaMavis. It's a Malach in charge of certain things. As the Rabbi Nisim Gono here says, Dilma was Duma. The Sisei Chachamim says that means Yom HaDuma, the day of silence. He's the Malach in charge of the silence. So in any event, he was Mistama said, tomorrow, who's coming? Who's joining us tomorrow? So that's how the girls knew. But otherwise, they would have no knowledge. There's no independent knowledge that they would have of what's going on in the next world. So no rally from there. Toshma, we try again. Famous story, Davua the Shmuel. The father Shmuel. Why is he not given his name? His name is Abba. So why is he not known throughout Shas? It's Abba. He's always known as Davua the Shmuel. So then Yad also brings down here a phenomenal story that says that when he was not yet born, his father went away on a business trip or some other trip, and an ace happened, a shade came to him, whatever it was, and said, tonight is the opportune time for you to be pregnant with your wife. So he said, Shemus of Hashem, came back from far away, impregnated his wife, and Baruch Hashem, 9 months later, little baby Shmuel was born. Only problem was, he said the name of the shade and went back, and he came back a year later. And everybody said it must be that his wife was Mizana because he hadn't been home for a year. But he had been home, but nobody else knew this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace over here that everybody should know that this was the father of Shmuel. So throughout Shas, he's always known as Avua de Shmuel to testify, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's testifying over here. No, Shmuel's father, Abba, really was the father of Shmuel, and Nachar Rechmona Litzlan, something else. So that's one of the reasons Ben Yehuda says that he's always known throughout Shas as Avua de Shmuel to symbolize or remind us of this nace that Hashem made.
Grandfather was also Abba, right?
Yeah, we'll see that in a second. His grandfather's also name was Abba. They must have been Svardim that they named after the father while he was still alive, or maybe he was Ashkenazi, and his father Nebuchadnezzar passed away. In any event, so Avu the Shmuel, what happened to him? He was a very, very trustworthy person, and the Yisomim, they would give the money to him. He was like the guardian for the Yisomim's money. Okay? Kinoch Nafshe, he unfortunately died somewhat suddenly, and lo have Shmuel Gabe, and Shmuel wasn't with him, and he didn't have a chance to tell Shmuel where the money of the Yisomim were. Have a korolei bar achil zuzi diasme. So Shmuel, they were making fun of him and says, oh yeah, your father, you're the son of the father that ate up all the financial assets of the Yisomim. So Shmuel didn't want to be his father. He didn't want his father to have that on his shoulder, so to say. So Amar Abasri l'chotzer mavis. Again, he goes to the cemetery to go find out whatever exactly this chotzer mavis is, metaphysical, real, whatever it was. He went to find out where the money of the Yisomim was so he could return it. Amar lo. So he goes to Shemayim, to the base medicine Shemayim, in, again, in this metaphysical sense, and he says, Baina Abba, I need to find the man called Abba. More unfortunately, we'll say, how is he allowed to say his father's name? You're not allowed to say your father's name. So again, it was done in a way of respect, so then you would be allowed to say your father's name. The Kash is better than the Teretz. In any event, Amulei, Abba Tuva Ikahocha. There are a lot of Abbas over here, right? So, maybe he just called him dad. Maybe he didn't, his name happened to be Abba, but he was going, where's my father? So there's a lot of fathers over here. So I'm a little, but you know, Abba Bar Abba, as Anton said, his father's name and his grandfather's name was called Abba. So he says, I need Abba Bar Abba. Newton, that was also a common name. It was John, the son of Bill, right? So it's a common name. I'm a little, Abba Bar Abba Nami, Tuva Iko Hocha. There are a lot of people with that name over here. I'm a little, he said, but in an Abba Bar Abba, Avua de Shmuel. Now there can't be that many people like that. Where is he? So I'm like, ooh, you're Shmuel. You're held very highly in regard over here. So Solik Lemasifta the Rakia. You'll go up to the base medicine Shemayim and you'll find your father over there. Now that they knew who he was looking for, so they sent him in the right direction. No, as he goes to the base medicine Shemayim, Adahachi Chazya the lady, the Yosef Abroi, he sees his father's Bali Plukta throughout their career. They were Ahud Shmuel and Levi are always Bali Plukta, like a Bayan Rav of the generation before. Right, a couple generations before. So they were famous Bali Plukta, but he sees Levi's not in the base medrash, he's outside. So I'm like, am I Yosves Avroy? Why are you outside? Why aren't you going to the base medrash? So my time a little salt, because why aren't you going in? They're, you obviously aren't allowed in. How come? You're the great Levi. So I'm like, he told him, Dami Lee, they said to me, Kol Hai, Kol Ki Hanach Shani, the Lo Salikas Lemesifta, the Rav Efes, Vach Lishase Lidaite, Lo Mailin Loch Lemesifta, the Rakia. What happened over here? Interesting story. Mora elsewhere tells us. You see that the Rabbeinu Nisim over here, and he says, Rabbi Nisim go to the side. So he tells us that when Rebbe passed away, he assigned certain jobs to his children and to other people. And he said that over here, he said that, Chanina Barachoma Yeshiv Barosh. So Rabbi Chanina would be the head of the Beis Medrash. Okay? And Rabbi Chanina said, Rav Ephes is older than me. It's possible that I should take the job as the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Ephes is around. So Rabbi Chanina said, I will defer to Rav Ephes. Even though Rabbi said I should be in charge, he would defer to Rav Ephes for 2.5 years until Rav Ephes passed away, and then Rabbi Chanina took over. Meanwhile, Levi said, well, Rabbi Chanina is greater than Rav Ephes. I'm going to stay outside the Beis Medrash and learn with Rabbi Chanina instead of going inside and learning with Rav Ephes. So therefore, Rav Ephes was upset for 2.5 years. So Levi is punished over here for 2.5 years. They didn't let Levi into the Beis Medrash in Shemayim because of the hurt that he had given to Rav Ephes. That's the story. So Levi's outside. Meanwhile, Levi sees his father. Shmuel sees his father inside the Beis Medrash. The Chaz, he sees him. He sees his father crying and he sees his father's laughing. I'm like, my time of Kabachis, why are you crying over here? So Amalei de la Agel Kosis, because you're gonna come here in the near future. Ba'agolov is man kariv. La Agel means in the future, right now. We want it right now. Ba'agolov is man kariv in the Kaddish. So la Agel means right now. Before I should point out, it doesn't mean right away, because then we can hear the same terrors as before. Duma announced it, so it meant in the near future, but not tomorrow. So Duma wouldn't make an announcement 4 weeks from now. Shmuel's coming. Right? He said, tomorrow Shmuel's coming, so that would be the answer that we gave before. Maybe in Shemayim they don't know, because we're going to try to prove him here. Alma Yodi, you see that they know. So it means near future, but not immediately over here. That's what the Mepharshim bring down over here. And why was he crying? Everybody has to die. He said, because he died, Shmuel died young, relatively young, and he had so much to accomplish, so many things he could have done, plus he's thought of so highly in Shemayim. So we all know that you can do much more in this world in terms of Zuchusim than you can do in Shemayim when your case is, so to say, sealed already. No, That's why he cried. No, Shmuel asked him, "My time achichas? Why are you smiling?" He said, "The chashivas b'hayam matuva, because I'm proud of you. You know, I'm very happy. They think very, very highly of you over here. You're the man. You're Shmuel, the great Shmuel, and it's well known in Shemayim who you are. So I'm very proud. That's why he's smiling." So I'm like, meanwhile, he said, "Ichashvina chashivna. If I'm considered so highly over here, I'm davening to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and I lead the lady." Levi should get to go into the base of Medrash. Forgive him for his transgression, his error, if you wish, in hurting Rabbi Ephes. Nope, by Lulu Levi. That he was answered. Amalei, now he goes back to his business at hand. He wanted to want his father to have the money of the Yisomim. So Amalei, Zuzi Diyas Mehecha. Where are the money from the Yisomim? Amalei, Zil Shaklinu Biamso Derechaya. It's over here in a certain Amso Derechaya. Is Rashi says over here, called Binyan Moshe of Arichayim, Kori Amas Arichayim. It's like in the base over here of the grinding stone. Eloi the Tatoi Didon. The money that you find on the top and your money that you find on the bottom, he hid it over there. Again, that's what you're supposed to do. The Gemara says elsewhere with money, you hide it, put it in a safe deposit box. So he said, I put the money that's ours, my money, on the top and on the bottom, and the money for the Yisomim, Mumitsoi, the Yasme. The money that the Yisomim have, I put in the middle. No, Shmuel asked him, why'd you do that for? Why that strange combination? I'm like, my time of it is Hachi. Why'd you put it that way? He told him to safeguard the Yisomim's money. So he says, Amalei, Iganuve ganve meganvu mididon. If robbers come, they may only see the top part, they'll only steal the top. That would be my money that they steal. They won't steal the Yisomim's money. Again, I have a tafkid, I have a responsibility to go and safeguard the Yisomim's money. Iochla ara, if in fact they go and have the ground decompose the money. They're talking about coins. They don't have paper money. They're talking about coins. So the ground could rust it, could destroy it. So ochle mididon, they'll destroy the bottom, will be ours. In the middle is the safest place for the money, and that's why I put the Yisomim's money over there. No, the Gemara says, Amo de Yodi. Rashi says over here, Michosh ben Achayim ben Amesim. He says they know because they knew that Shmuel was very important. Tosa says no because they knew that he was going to die in a few days. Either way, both are good rais, not loved up mutually exclusive over here. So that's how they know in the next world what's going on in this world. Amo Yodi. Gemara says, no. Doma Shiny Shmuel, Kim the Choshev, Kodme Machrize. No. Shmuel is the God of Ladar. So maybe they make announcements. A month from now, Shmuel is coming. Or they say, who's the God of Ladar? Shmuel's the God of Ladar. So, Lav Dafka can tell me that in general they know what's going on. Certain things, like a Shmuel, they know what's going on. But Lav Dafka, you can bring me a right.
So we get nowhere.
We don't know the answer yet. We still don't know the answer over here. I'm sorry, I didn't finish reading the line. Panu Markum, make way, Shmuel's coming. We have to prepare. Right? When the president goes to a place, the Secret Service are preparing weeks and months in advance to set up the place. When the CMS Shas was in the MetLife, it didn't happen the night before. Hey, we booked MetLife, everybody come tomorrow. There was 7.5 years of planning for this. They probably already booked the MetLife for Mitzvah Shem 7.5 from now. Hopefully they'll book it in Yerushalayim. So we'll all be in Yerushalayim then. So you have to plan things in advance. That's what this was, but you can't remember you're right. We know the story because the Gemara tells it to us. How the Gemara knows the story, I don't know. Can't tell you. It's a Masoras that we have. This is a phenomenal story. Aren't you glad that we know the story? Aren't you know we know the story? So, again, how we know the story, the Gemara knows it. So, again, Mistama, people, they talk. And this was felt, Chazal felt, this is an important ideas over here about what's happening that are important for us to know. Again, this is an Agadah to Gemara and an esoteric Gemara. There are tremendous ideas that are put in here, which the average person, myself very much included, don't fully understand, but we can enjoy the stories. But the deep messages that Chazal put inside over here, they say Yechidim in each generation get the message. And they pass it on to the next generation of Yechidim. So there are two ways to learn this. There's the way the Daf Yomi learns this, and the way the Gedoli Hadar learned this Gemara. And they have much deeper understanding of this, but Baruch Hashem, we can get the understanding that we can get from this as well. Ba'afir Yonason, Hardabay, the Omar of Shmuel Ben Achmeni, Omar of Yonason, Minayin Lemesin Shul Sapin Zem Zeh. So Rav Yonason, who was the one that said originally, hey, I don't think they know what's going on in the next world, he changed his opinion over here. And he said, Shinema, the Apostle says, the Omar Shemi Lov, Zos Oritz, Shinishbati, Liavom, Lisov, Yaakov, Lamor, you should go and tell Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem is telling Moshe, you should go and tell Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. My lema, what do you mean you should go and tell them? So I'm at Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, and more lamely, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, go and tell Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shavua, Shemishmati, Lochem, Kivar, Kiyamti, Livnechem. I promise you, they go into Eretz Yisrael. I promise you to get out of Mitzrayim. Achakein, Yetzu, Bichush, Gadol. Go tell them that everything has been done. Now, if you're telling me that they don't know what's going on, so Kiyamalo, my hobby. So then, what difference would it make over here when Moshe Rabbeinu goes and tells him? So it must be that they know. So Gemara says, okay, so you want to tell me that they know? Elamai, the Ode. So then, Lomelay, Melaylo. So if they know what's going on, then why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to tell them? So now we have a Teretz war. Le'achzugi le'tivusa l'Moshe. So Moshe being the bearer of the good news, right? You always want to be the bearer of good news. People like to rush and tell somebody, a mazel tov, oh, so-and-so gave birth, so-and-so gave birth, right? So Baruch Hashem, the people love to say a mazel tov. So that's, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the schus, so to say, to go tell Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov that Hashem fulfilled his promise, even though they knew it independently. So we more or less conclude that there is some yediyah over there, but it's not clear exactly what they know in the world to come. Amar Yitzchak, call him a saper achrei ha-meis. If you go and say things over after the meis, in other words, about the meis, so then, kilu misaper achrei ha-evin. Doesn't, it's like talking about a stone. What does it mean? What do you mean it's like talking about a stone? So it says, ika de'amri de lo yodi, because they don't know. So you're saying something bad about the meis, he doesn't know. So you're not accomplishing, so to say, getting him upset. Vika de'amri de yodi v'lo ichbablu. Well, they know, they don't care, because they're in the Olam Emes, and they, your little things that you're saying make no difference. Yes, is this really so? Ini. V'amri rapapa, chad ishtoi milso basrei demar shmuel. There once was a person who said something bad about Shmuel. Russia said something bad about Shmuel after Shmuel died. V'nafal kanya mitilola, and some sort of a beam, Rashi says it's a kone gadol, the kaved, nafal minagak, some sort of a big heavy beam fell off. And then the other says normally beams are very light. So this was something that was clear cut that it came from Shemayim. It wasn't just an accident. Mm-hmm. In any event, ubazoli anoka demoche, and it smashed his head, and he died. So you see that in Shemayim, they do know about it. It says again, "Shiny tzuvim rabbanon." The Kutcher Brichu tova bi kare. Shmuel had nothing to do with this. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, took Shmuel's insult to heart, and he attacked this man for insulting a tzuvim rabbanon. So the Mefarshim over here bring down the Sifsei Chachamim brings down that he's the daf called the tzuvim rabbanon, which is a term we normally use for a young person to show us that Shmuel died younger than he would have. His father cried because he died relatively young. That's why it's called tzuvim rabbanon, a term we normally use for a younger Talmud Chacham, albeit in the Gemara, sometimes it's used for an older Talmud Chacham as well. In any event, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, call him a saper acha mitosen shel tamidei chachamim. Anybody that goes and speaks after the bed, the coffin of the tamidei chachamim, no for Gehenim. He's gonna, bad things are gonna happen to him. He's gonna fall into Gehenim. The Mefarshim point out over here on the side. It says acha mitosen loshon hatoyahu. It means they kloma nata miderech hayishara. In other words, they went off the derech. That's why this loshon of mitosen. Others explain the loshon mitosen is that tzadikim afilu b'misosim kruim chayim. So that's why it doesn't want to say anybody speaks after dead Tamid Chacham. It speaks after the coffin of the Tamid Chacham. The Tamid Chacham themselves are still considered alive. Even in their death, Tamid Chacham are considered alive. That's why the interesting lashon over here, mitosun shel Tamid Chacham.
It sounds bad.
Yeah, it means a bad, yeah. It's not in a positive sense. Right.
Is this what the Lubavitch uses to make their complaint about the Rebbe is still alive?
So again, to say the Rebbe is alive, that's a whole different discussion. Let's leave that alone. Again, we believe the Rebbe Zatzal was a great Talmud Chacham, and what they know, he knows what all the other great Talmidei Chachamim know. So I don't think that answers your question. So we say the tzaddikim afilu b'nisasim kruim chayim. That's what I said yesterday. We say libad l'mechayim l'chayim. We talk about a person who's dead, who's a tzaddik, and a person who's alive, who's a tzaddik. We say we differentiate between those living and those living. So again, we believe, first of all, we have the idea that Sifsosos Dvogos Bekever. We say over the Vart about a Talmud Chacham, so his lips are moving in the grave. We say that those bodies don't decompose, right? They bring down many stories about great tzaddikim that they've interred them, and they're exactly lifelike the way they are. The body decomposes because of sin, because of kin, and the Gemara says in some places, if you lived a sin-free life, like great gedolim, so then your body doesn't have to decompose. And the Shama, we said, leaves the body like pulling out a hair from milk. We had that a week or two ago. So again, there's different connections that the Guf has to the neshama. Some, it's such a pure connection that there's no need to decompose. The body didn't do anything, so to say, wrong, so it doesn't have to decompose. Okay. How do we know this idea? Shnema v'hamatim al kalkulosim. Those that turn over here for this negative idea, yolicham Hashem pole es pole oven. So they'll get their clep. They'll go to Gehenna. Shalom Yisrael. Afilu b'shal. So then, Paul says, Shalom Yisrael. Afilu b'shal. Shalom Yisrael. Yolichem Hashem is poly oven. That's how you define over here that even when there's Shalom Yisrael, so Hashem is going to take these people that speak bad about tzaddikim and punish them. Tani Rabbi Shmuel. Ibrahisa Talmud Chacham Shav Aveiru Belayla. If you see a Talmud Chacham did some sort of aveira at night, so first to point out is Madafko here at night. because he did it bitzina. So therefore, you can assume al tahara achrav. Don't think for a second about negative about this talmud chacham al tahara achrav because mustami did tshuva al tahara achrav bayom shema also tshuva. Because maybe he did tshuva, so don't think bad about this great tzaddik. Even a great tzaddik falls off on an occasion, and you see this happen, so it's done in private. You can assume for certain he did shema, he did tshuva. When I say shema, so kedaitach, elavada yosa tshuva. He definitely did tshuva. We don't think for a second that a Talmud Chacham didn't do tshuva. You have to, lemaisa, have to dan lekav schus, and you have to assume that he did tshuva. When is this? That's when it was, a spiritual thing, so to say. Only something that is between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avu b'mamona, adam ha'demari. If you see him do something with money, so then you can't assume that he did good until you know that the money has been returned. Okay. Now we leave the ideas that we've been talking about, and we go to a new subject. The connection to the previous story is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, so to say, vengeance for making fun of Shmuel. So this Talmud Chacham. So that's how we get to this story over here. Shmuel Levi says, in 24 places in Shas, you can see them listed in the Ein Mishpat over here, the Tor lists them. In any event, in 24 places in Shas, based in Menadon Kavod HaRav, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, took vengeance on behalf of the Talmud Chacham that was insulted, or he made it that somebody who insulted the Talmud Chacham was punished in some way. They were put into Cheirim. V'kulon Shanim Mishnah Seinu, and they're all in the Mishnah. So where are they in the Mishnah? So Amalei Rebbe Lazar, Heicha, Rebbe Lazar asks his Rebbe Yeshua Levi, where are they? So Amalei says, L'chi, go, Tishkach, and find them, and then you'll know for yourself. In other words, go and do a Google search. The Google search of those days, some suggest that he left the Beis Medrash to go look in the Svarim. They didn't write things down, but they kept their own private Svarim. So he went to go search the private Svarim, because it wasn't yet allowed to write down. In any event, Novak Dok V'Yachash, he went and looked, he searched, and he found. 3, not 24, Tlos. What are these three? Hamzalzel Tilas Yadayim. He found over here that people were Mazalzel in Tilas Yadayim. The Hamasaper Achar Mitosan Shotani Chomin. This idea that if you Masaper after Talmud Chacham bad things, you're going to get into trouble and you're going to Nidoy and Al Shotani Chomin. The Hamegis Daito Kapi Milem. Somebody is acting in Chutzpahdik way to Shemayim, you get put in Nidoy. So these three cases, he found examples in the Mishnayos where Talmid Chachamim or others were put into Chayrim because of something that they said or did wrong. What are these three? So we jump off right into the one that's the direct connection, the middle one. We don't go to number one. We go straight to number two because that's the connection to the previous story. Hamasapar Achabi Tosfos Talmid Chachamim. Mayhi, where do we find that in the Mishnah? That's not. So it's the Mishnah in Edios. We have Akavim in Mahalu, who's one of the greatest Talmid Chachamim. So he made several statements in the Mishnayos in Edios. So who are you, Omer? Amongst the statements that he said, here's another one that Akavim in Mahalu said, Omer ain mashkin lo es hagioris, lo es hamishuchveris. He said, we don't give the sota to drink if the sota is a gioris or a mishuchveris, a woman that was a convert or a woman that was a mishuchveris. Some say that meant that her husband was a convert. In any event, we don't drink the meh sota. It's only for a pure born yid. That's how the Kodesh Baruch Hu promised that the meh sota, which is the only place where we're supposed to rely upon a miracle. Every other place is not allowed to write a miracle. Here it says the Mei Sota will determine whether she was Mazan or not, which is a miracle. We know we don't pass away miracles here at Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Torah tells us we could. So what happened over there? Chaim Mahal says, don't give a Gioris or a Mishukharis. No, Mashkin, you can. So the Machlokes, point, what happened? From below, they told him, we'll show you that we're right. Maisa Bekarkimis, Shivcho Mishukharis, Yushalayim. The once was a woman whose name was Karkimis. And she was either from the place of Karkum, that's why she's called a Karkimis, or her name was Karkimis. And she was thought to be a sota, and they gave her the water. V'hishkua Shemayav Atayun. Shemayav Atayun were probably not Gerim themselves. Some suggest that they were. Others say that they were the sons of Gerim because they were in the Sanhedrin, and you can't be in the Sanhedrin if you're a Ger. In any event, Shemayav Atayun were either descendants of themselves who were Gerim. And they gave this woman, who was in Shivcha Mishuchreres, i.e. a Giores, to drink over here the Mei Sota. So they said, here, my Sashaya, you see that we're right. So Akavi bin Mahalo supposedly answered them, Amalem, Dugma Hishkua. They are Dugmas themselves, they are Gerim themselves, they're like Jews, so they gave her, like a Jewish woman, they gave them a sota. Now that's a very chutzpahdik thing to say about Shmaya Vavtayun, Benidu. They put him into Cherim, Umesu Beniduyav, and he died in Nidoy, and when a person dies in Nidoy, he's excommunicated, so he Kaviyachu gives skila to him. The Soklu Beis Dino was Aaron. They put a stone on top of his grave, so everybody should know that he died in Nidui. So you see over here, that they acted, they put somebody in nidr, saying bad things about Talmidei Chachamim. That's number one, story number one. Now, the Gemara is going to say in a moment, that can't possibly be correct. The names are wrong over here, and I'll tell you what the story was, because there's no way that Akavi Mahalu was such a great person, the Gemara is going to say, could have said that inappropriate thing. Others suggest that when they said they gave her, over here, dugma hishkua, it means they gave her a false meisota. They gave her a concoction that was like the meisota, but it wasn't real meisota. So again, whatever the dugma was, he made fun of Shmaya and Avtalia. And that's not right. Whoever it was made fun of them. Case number two, where we find that somebody was put into Chayrim. Hamazalzal Matilas Yadayim. Here we have a person who's not a Talmud Chacham. Mahi, what was that story? The Tanai. We learned in Mishnah Psochim. Am Yehuda, Chas Yishol, Shakavi Mahal Nisnadi. He says, that story that you just said, no way, you're right. Akavi Mishal was the Gadol Hador. She'ein Azorin in Eles, Al-Kol Odom Yisrael, B'chochmah V'tar of Yiratzchei, Kakavi Mahal. When the gates, this is an interesting discussion over here, that they used to have three katim, three groups of people who go in the Karm Pesach. Everybody wants to be in the first group, and then the gates close themselves, one opinion says. And when they reach a certain maximum capacity, the gates close. I'd say, no, they had guards that closed the gates. In any event, so the gates closed on Klal Yisrael. The gates closed on Klal Yisrael, and then the third time, the gates closed on Klal Yisrael. Almost everybody went in the first one, and people couldn't get in the first one, went to the second one, and then the few leftovers went to the third one. There's always a couple of Jews that are late. So that's what it means, the gates close on them. And he says, and all the Jewish people inside the Azorah, on Erev Pesach, bringing the Korban Pesach, there was nobody as great as Akavi Menahalo. The gates didn't close on anybody greater than Akavi Menahalo. No, then who was in the previous story? Elas mi nidu, as Elazar ben Chanoch. You have the story mixed up. That wasn't the correct story. The story was this guy, who was not a good guy, Elazar ben Chanoch, he's not a Tana. He was a person, shepikpek b'netilas yadayim. He made fun of the rabbis setting up netilas yadayim. Pikpek, the Sisei Chachamim says, is weakened. He said, rabbinical din. Rabbinical. People do this nebuch. They say, it's a Torah din. It's only the rabbis that said that. So he did the same thing, and he got klep. Ukishemes, when he died, Shalchu beis din v'nichu evin gedol al arono. So when he died, he died mistama right away, and they didn't get a chance to even put him in Nidoy. So they put him in Nidoy after death. If somebody died in Nidoy, so they must have put him in Nidoy, even before he died, rather. They put a stone on his grave, again, to symbolize that he never did tshuva, and he died in Nidoy. So that's the story. So here's the second place where we have that in the Mishnah, there's all Mishnayis over here, where the rabbis put somebody in Chayim for being chutzpahdik to the rabbanim. So we put little stones. Right. So again, interesting idea, Mel. I don't know if the two have any relationship whatsoever. I would think not. Yes. Hameg is datu klapi malo mahi. The third case we gave was somebody who was chutzpahdik. What's this story? The Tanan. Famous story, Mishnah Tanis. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach, who was the Ab Beis Din. He was the head of the Klal Yisrael. L'choni ha-ma'aga, the famous story of Choni ha-ma'aga. We all know the story. Choni went to, it was a time of drought. He went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, please make it rain. Hashem didn't make it rain. So he draws a circle. He says, I ain't leaving the circle, Hashem, till you make it rain. So Hashem lets a drop of rain come down. He says, that's not what I meant, Hashem. I want real rain. So Hashem makes it pour, it pluchens. He says, that's not what I meant, Hashem. I want normal rain so the crops will grow properly. Hashem makes normal rain. When Shimon Mesheta heard about this, he says, you don't talk to God that way. He says, I should put you in Chayrim. Tzarech atol hisnados. But what can I do? Yachoni ama'aga. Al-ilmole choni ato goes rani lechonido. I would put you in Chayrim, except for the fact that you're greater than me. Yachoni ama'aga. You're God's beloved one. You can talk to HaKadosh Baruch like that. It's not proper, but you can get away with it. Abu Moya said, what can I do? Shato mischati livin ha'mokom. You go acting as chutz with dick away in front of Hashem. Nevertheless, Osi lo ritzolcha. He does what you wanted. You made it rain exactly the way you wanted it. And Hashem said, fine, I listen to you. Because you're like a child. Kibben shem ischati livin ha'ofim. Osi lo ritzolcha. Your kid does something wrong. And then he looks at you with those big blue eyes. And he says, Daddy, can you please do this? And you're buying the candy. You're buying the toy. Because that's the way a parent is to a child. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats you like his loving son. But you did wrong. You still shouldn't have done this, but what can I do? So you see, here's a third example where you should put somebody in Chayrim, in Nidoy, if they're chutz b'dik. Yolecha kosev omer. The Shimon Shetach said about you, Yismach aviv v'imecha, v'sog yal yadusecha. So again, praiseworthy is to those that gave birth to you because you're such a great tzaddik. So the Gemara says there's only three, not 24. Vesu leka, aren't there any more? Why'd you stop over here at three? Va'ika, what about the following story? Ika, the Tani, Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef learned, and he said, Todus, Ish Romi. Todus was a Roman. He was also a doctor. And Hinnig is Bnei Romi. He was the head of the community there. He was a big Baal Tztok. He says he supported the Tamid Echacham. He was thought of very highly. Hinnig is Bnei Romi, La'achil and Gedim, Mekulos, and Vileli Psochem. He instituted a custom, which is against the Halacha, that they should have roasted goat over there on Pesach night, in the commemoration of the Korban Pesach. Now, we, B'davka, don't eat any roasted meat that night, because we don't want people to think that this is the Korban Pesach. But he did the exact opposite. B'davka, eat roasted meat to remind us of the Korban Pesach. So, Shalach L'Shem Meshetach, who was the head of the Jewish community, he said to him, Ilmoli Todos Ato, if you weren't for the great fact that you're the great Todos, because it looks like you're feeding Kalis or Kosh Mechutz. And the rabbis, we made Xerah, don't do this, and you made Xerah the other way. So, but you're a great person, so you get away with it, so to say, but don't do this again. So you see, here's another case that they would have put him in Chayram. Where it says, we said, B'mishnah seinu kamrinan v'ha b'raisahi. This wasn't the Mishnah. We said there are 24 places in the Mishnah, and this wasn't listed because it's a b'raisa, not a Mishnah. No, u'masnis leka, ashaya Mishnah. The famous story of the machlokis Rabbi Yoshua and the Chachamim against Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, Rabbi Elazar Shamutihu, Rabbi Elazar Hyrcanus, with the famous mice of the oven, the tanur bach noi. So what is that? For he called it man, chot chuchuyos, dinasan chulbe chuyul chuyah. They had an oven that was tame, and they chopped it up, and then they put it back together by putting sand in between, but they didn't put it in the kiln. They didn't go fire it up over here. So Rabbi Elazar mitar. Rabbi Elazar said over here, we're going to be mitar this oven. The tumor went away by breaking it. And now we put it back together. We didn't put it in the fire. You didn't restore it. So therefore, it's now a kosher tar oven. And you can make kachim inside this oven. The chum and they said, no, it's tame still. Because the majority of it is still tame, even though parts of it were broken, but it's still called the usable oven, and therefore the tumah hasn't left it. And this is a famous, famous machlokis. And Rabbi Elazar says, I'll show you that I'm right. The Gemara elsewhere tells us he did all sorts of things. He said the trees should turn this way, the water should flow backwards, and a bas kol rang out for Shemayim that he's right. And Rabbi Yeshua says, it's the famous statement, Lo ba Shemayimi. God doesn't paskin, we paskin. He gave us the right to paskin, and we paskin, you're wrong. And he kept on arguing, and they put him in chayrim, because he can't keep on arguing. After a while, you have to say, achiram lahatos, the majority of the rabbanim said, it's tamei. So what did they do? Vizel tanur shal achnoi. This was the famous tanur of achnoi. What is it called achnoi? My achnoi, achnoi is a snake, omer yudu, omer shmol, v'lai me shekifu, halochus kachnoi, zeh v'timua. They circled him like a snake circles, And they kept on showing him that you can't do this, and ultimately they put him into chayrim. And the Brisa says, "Note that I said the Brisa said the Tanya Osayom if you call Taru Shatir Rabbi Elazar v'sarfum l'fanav." They had to show that he was wrong, so he brought all the haros that he said were tar, and they made them tame, and they burnt them because you're allowed to burn taros. You have to burn taros that are tame. Will be solved barchu, and they blessed them. Blessed them means over here, according to most, they put him into nidoy. There is an interesting sheet that I heard Rishach Tashlit to bring down, the name of Landau, that it says that they didn't really put him into Nidui. What they did was they made a ned that we're going to treat you like you're a Nidui, because they didn't want to go put the great Rabbi Elazar HaGadol. He was known as Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, Yerushalmi says, because he was the most humble of persons. And he thought he was right. And he says, Torah is Torah. I can't give in if I think I'm right. I have a Masorah that I'm right. So he was called the humble. Rabbi Elazar HaGadol is the humble. It's a play on his greatness, that he was so humble. So he was a great, 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 great tzaddik. Don't take anything wrong from this story. So in any event, they didn't really put him into chayrim. They just made a ned that will treat him like he's in chayrim. And it brings various riots to this. In any event, the simple understanding over here is that they put him in chayrim. So the masnis and lotanat. So the Gemara says, this is not an example of this because it was in a braisa. The story was in a mishnah, but that they put him into nidoy berchu, that was only in a braisa. So again, left, there's only three places that he could find in the mishnayis where we put somebody in nidoy. Yeah.
Once somebody is being put in nidoy, is there a way back?
Yeah. All he has to do is do tshuva. Yeah. Or just do tshuva, and they can remove the nidoy all the time. Yeah. He has to understand that you did something wrong. He says, I'm sorry, I did something wrong. Ice needed. Absolutely.
So after he was put to...
So he said, I'm right. He said, I'm right. He said, I'm right. I can't retract. He felt that he was right. So they got along famously. His brother-in-law put him in chayrim, right? Rav Gamliel was his brother-in-law. He put him in chayrim. And he got back at them. This is the famous story that we have in the Gemara, that his wife, who was Rabbi Gamliel's wife, who was the sister of Rabbi Eliezer, So you never let him daven tachlon. I always tell people this is the importance of tachlon, because she knew if he ever put together Shimon Esrei and tachlon, Rabbi Gamliel was dead. Not that Rabbi Eliezer would do anything, but Hashem would hear his pain and would say, Rabbi Gamliel, you caused pain to such a tzaddik. That's it. So one day she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, it really wasn't, and she let him, and she left him alone. She thought, today I don't have to bother him not to say tachlon. She would always interrupt him. He would say tachlon, but she would always interrupt him between Shimon Esrei and tachlon, so he never had the power together. One day she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, she didn't have to get up early, wake up early and stop him from saying tachlon right away. He said tachlon right away. She sees what happened, she says, all right, my brother's dead. And Ma'aseh Shaya, Rabbi Gamliel passed away. So the power of tachlon is from that story, and the greatness of Rabbi Eliezer Gadol. Rabbi Eliezer Gadol, even when he died, he came back and kept on making kiddush for his wife for 22 years. He was l'malo min hateva. Rabbi Eliezer Gadol, don't for a second think anything less about him from these stories. Again, these are tannoyim. We can't understand how great they were. You know, we see a Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. We see a Rabbi Yoshua ben Soloveitchik. We see great gedolim. They pale in comparison to the Rishonim. The Rishonim pale in comparison to the Amoraim. The Amoraim pale in comparison to the Tanoim. We can't have even a hasaga of what a Tano was. So again, when we hear these stories, we can't fit them into our framework of how life runs. They're Lamalim and Ateba, many of them. They're a different Madrega, and we can just listen to these stories and enjoy them. Surah Gemara says, Ela b'chotei mekomos heichem mishkachas lo. So where did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say? They're 24. We only know three. We know all the Mishnayos. So Gemara says, Reshub and Levi, Medam Milsa Lemilsa. He said there's only three that are Beferish, but we can find another 21 where the rabbis would have put somebody into Chayrim for how they acted. And he said, you can see that they therefore, if that's how they acted, of course they put him into Chayrim. So that's where he gets the 24 from. And Relez, when he only found three, Lo Medam Milsa Lemilsa. He said, I only found three, which says Beferish. Okay, that answers that question. Now we're in the Masechta, in the Perek that deals with Misha Mace, so we finally get back to some halachas of over here of the Mace. So the Gemara says over here, Tani Rabbanan, Ein Motziim Es HaMace, Somuch L'Kriyashma. No Se Amit V'Chilupeim, he said that the people that were carrying the pallbearers, they would sometimes say Shema, sometimes not say Shema, depending on the situation. So Ein Motziim Es HaMace, Somuch L'Kriyashma. You try not to take out the Mace right near the time of Kriyashma. No, V'Mitzchil Le Mavsikim. But if they already started, then you don't stop, and they'll miss Kriyashma. Moses says, is that so? Ini Bar Yosef, Avkur, Somuch L'Kriyashma, when Yosef passed away, they took him out right next to Kriyashma. Shmuel says, Odom Choshu Shiny. For a great person, you don't wait. That's a bigger cover for the person. Even though everybody will miss Kriyashma, you don't delay. You do the Kfuri needs for the great person immediately. Then he says, Shalifni Amit Shlach Mita. Sometimes they could, sometimes they couldn't, depending where they were. Tanu Rabbanan, the Brisa adds further details. Oskim behesped. If somebody's involved in the hesped of the mace, the eulogies, Bisman Shameis Mutalifneyem, when they're listening to the eulogies, so some of them can slip out. It won't be a denigration to the mace. It won't be a lack of cover to the mace. So the Shmatim Echo, Echo Bikorin. They can go out and say the Kriyashma during the time that the hesbeds are going on, slightly slip out one at a time. This way they can all say Kriyashma. Ain't a mace mutalifneyem, if the mace isn't there, but they're saying it's bade them anyway, so then they all can say Kriyashma, hein Yoshua Korin, it's man Kriyashma. Everybody says Shema Yisrael, and the Onain, the one who's there, he sits there silently. Vu Yosheva Domin, he sits there silently because he's not mechuyev to say Kriyashma, he doesn't say Kriyashma. Hey, mom, the misbalot. Then they say Shemon Esrei. Who all made? Who matzik over the din? He sits there. He doesn't say Shemon Esrei. He's not allowed to daven. So what does he do? While they're all saying Shemon Esrei, he does tziduk hadin. Again, this is a very important idea that we say at every kvura almost, except at certain times when you can't say tachin, so you don't say the tziduk hadin. But normally we express the idea that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, what you did is just. So he says, "Omer, Ribono Olim, person who's Nebuchadnezzar says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Habei Chatosil V'Decha, I did many sins. V'lo Nifrati V'Many Echad Mini Elof, and you'd only paid me back even 1/1000th of what I deserve to be paid back with this loss over here. Yiratzom V'Necha should be your will, Hashem. Elkenu should Tigdar Pirtzoseinu. You should seal up all the breaches that we've done. Upirtzu Kolamkol Beisol, all the breaches that Klai Yisol has done to you. V'Rachamim with great mercy." So in other words, he says, I deserve this. I don't have any katat, I don't have any anger against you, Hashem. I don't have any kindness against you, Hashem. This was supposed to happen. That's tzedek hadin, that nothing happens by accident. Everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. So we admit that and acknowledge that. But Abaye didn't like this. Omar Abaye, lo mi boi linish lemei marhochi. You shouldn't say this. Yeah, you say tzedek hadin, but don't say, I only got paid back 1/1000th of what I deserve to get paid back. Because of the famous rule, al tiftach pelusotu. Don't reshub and levi. Chayin tonim shvedir of Yossi. Lo'olam al yiftach odim pelusotu. Don't say to Hashem, I deserve more. You're so nice to me, you only gave me this much clef. I deserve more. Well, Hashem will say, okay, you deserve more. You're moda, so I'll give you more. Furthermore, Yom Yosef, my core, where do we see this idea from Shemar? Because it says the famous pasuk that we read in Shabbos Chazon, Kemat Kistol Bayinu. So the Jewish people would say, you're like Sidom. So immediately after, what does Yeshaya say? Shimu Dvar Hashem, Katsine Sidom. Oh, you like Sidom? You are Sidom then. Don't open up your mouth to the Satan. In other words, don't say bad things about yourself. Person has to be very careful not to ask for bad things for himself or to say bad things about himself. No, that's not Siddur Kadin. That's a Sefer Bracha that you acknowledge, just like we learn this later on in the Masechta, at the end of the ninth parak, that just like you make a Bracha on good things, you make a Bracha on bad things because it's all good. We don't realize it. It's very hard for us to understand it. That's why we use a different Nusach. But you should say Atovu Meitiv, or you should say Sheachianu on the person passing away. But we're not able to feel that way. But since we are supposed to feel that way, so we make a different Bracha to acknowledge that this is good. Even though we don't realize, Gamzula Tova is a hard thing for us to say, so we have a slightly different nusa. But we say Tzidik Hatin, which is a separate paragraph, that's acknowledging the righteousness of God's deeds. We have no tainus against you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're taking away our loved one. Even though we're sad, and even though we're not happy about it, but we have no tainus against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the approach that we're supposed to have. Then it said, Kavir Sevesu Chazu V'chule, on the way back after they bury. So it said, you say Kriya Shema, not certain things, you do certain things. Shim Yicholu L'Haske V'ligmor Es Kula, in. If you can finish off the whole Shema, say it. Avo Perakech, Lo Posiach, Lo. But it implies that if you can't say the whole Shema, then don't start. Shmuel says, Ramin, is that true? Kavir Sevesu Chazu V'Braisa says that they buried the dead and they were coming back. V'chazu, Yicholu L'Haske V'ligmor, Afilu Perakech, Lo Posiach, Hochanami Kamar, you should say it. You should say it. So Gemara says, "Hachanami kamen." No, this is what we meant when we said, "Im yichol lahasu ligmar afilu perikechod or afilu pasikechod." Actually, yagil shuri yaschilu v'mlo lo v'mlav lo yaschilu. No, they're both saying the same thing. The Bryce is not arguing that. The Bryce is saying over here, go and say over here as much as you can. Newt, you say the first paragraph, fine. You say the first pasuk, fine. Say what you can. Turn to the Amud Beis. Om dimishura, the people standing in the rows, as we said, the birchas avelim and the tanchum. Tarabon shura. The people in the shura, haroah pinima petura, those on the inner circle of the row, the inner circle, the inner line of the shura, so they're right by the nebuch, the avel that's walking by, they are petura for saying kriyeshma. V'shein haroah pinima, those that are within the first two rows, and before I should bring down, the people in the first row are directly there, the people in the second row, they look in between the heads of the two people in the first row, so it's like the first two rows are directly in front of the mace, so they're part of the Kriyashma. So, v'shein haroah pinima, but those that are in the rows further behind, chayavis, they have to say Kriyashma. Review the answer to this, not clear whether he's being machmir or meikel. Review the omer, haboy machmas evil peturim, machmas asma chayav. Anybody that's there because they're truly friends with the mace, so then they're part of the Kriyashma. And anybody that's there because that's a spectacle, let's see, who passed away? Oh, a big procession. So those people, they're not part of the Kriyashma. So some say he's saying even the first two rows, some say he's saying even the last rows. So again, it's a shaila, is he being machmir or meikel on the first opinion. Now we introduce a new idea of kavod ha-meis, kavod ha-brios. Very important idea. If you see that you're wearing kilayim, you must take off your clothing. Poshtun. Afilu b'shuk. So you walk up to somebody and say, hey, that's kilayim. Well, he realizes that's kilayim. He's in the middle of the marketplace. He got to take off his shirt. Got to take off his pants. Go around half naked. I kavod ha-brios. No, tough luck. Sorry. My timer. Ein chochma vein suna vein etzel l'neged Hashem. Nothing we can do against Hashem. Hashem said, don't wear kilayim. You can't come up with all sorts of terutz. I'll be embarrassed. That's it. End of the discussion. Don't be embarrassed. You're doing exactly what Hashem said. Ah, you're walking around half naked now? Sorry. But you're doing what Hashem wants. You can't go, ein chokhma vein suna vein etzel neged Hashem. You can't go and start rationalizing all your incorrect things you're doing. You're wearing kilayim, you got to take it off. Zemora says, komokim sheish chilul Hashem, ein chokhma kovel rab. We likewise, we normally give tremendous cover to a rab, but if a rab makes a mistake, we don't give him cover. Then you have to correct the mistake. That's a similar idea. Ein over here, chokhma tuna eitza neged Hashem. In other words, Hashem, the Kiddush Hashem, takes precedence to everything else. We can't go and compromise on what Hashem said because somebody's going to be hurt. Now, let's analyze that more. They say, that doesn't seem to be the right. By Shema, you don't say Shema. That's a din d'oraisa because of covered a mess, because the poor guy is being buried. Now, listen to this story. The mace is coming back after the relatives are coming back, and they could go through a tar path or a tummy path. So, if he goes through the tar path, so everybody goes with him through the tar path. If he chooses for whatever reason, he takes the path that's going to be all going over Tumah. So, Mishum Kvaldo. How are you allowed to do that? They're Kohanim over here. How are they allowed to become Tomei? Amai, Leima, In Chochma, Mein Tzvuna, Leneger Hashem. So how could the Kohanim be asked to go over here for covered for this poor guy? He shouldn't have to walk alone. Seems to be going against what Hashem said. Kohanim aren't allowed to become Tomei, Tomei Meis. So Gemara says, Tehillim of Yavah, the Beis HaPras, the Rabbanim. We're talking here about it's not a Tumah D'Oraisa. A Tumah D'Oraisa, you're right, you can't go against Hashem. But it's only a Tumah D'Rabbanon. So covered Abrios knocks aside this Tumah D'Rabbanon. There's no issue over here for them to become tummy in this situation because of covered abrios. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Minafeach all the Beis HaPras v'Holech. You're allowed to go and take a bellows and blow in front of you. The Beis HaPras is a field that a mace was buried in and then got plowed over. So there may be little pieces of bone. So there's no concern of Tumas Ohel because they're smaller than the shear of a barley corn. But there could be Tumah that you touch. Mago Masa would be a problem. So you take a bellows, and you blow in front of you, and you blow away any small pieces of bone that might be there, and you're allowed to do that. Now, if this was a Tumah D'Oraisa, we would never let you do this. So clearly we see that the Beis HaPras is a Tumah D'Rabbanan, and the rabbis would not go to their Tumah over here because of covered Beis. If you plow through the Beis HaPras, you also can say that it's Tumah D'Oraisa. We only have a D'Rabbanan over here because there's no large pieces over here. You don't have to be concerned. So you see over here that this is a unique exception, but not for Daraisa, only for Darabon. So we're still okay. Ain Chokhme, Ain Tuna, Ain Eitz, and Neger Hashem for Daraisa. Where it says, is that so? Toshma, try again. Lamar Lazar itself, dog. Midalgin, Hainu, Agabi, Aronu, Shomesim. Likras, Machi, Yisrael. That we would go, Kohanim would go, and go climb over the Aronos of the Mesim, the coffins of the dead, in order to see a Melech Yisrael, because it's such a great idea to see a Melech Yisrael. And not only that, but Likras Machi Yisrael, Bavad, Amru El Afil Likras Machi Akim, or there's a Girsa Machi Umosa Olam, to even see a Gaisha king, because Shim Yiske Yachim Machi Yisrael Machi Akim, because we'll see the Mashiach someday coming, we want to see what the fanfare is going to be like, so get a little idea of the pomp and circumstances, even by a Gaisha king, certainly by a Jewish king, imagine what it's going to be like for Mashiach when he comes. So there's a mitzvah to go run and see this. So, am I? How come? How can they let the Kohanim jump over the Aronos over here? So how could they do this, become Tomei D'Oraisa? So when it says, no, Kidurava, that's not Tomei D'Oraisa, the Amarava. If there's more than a space of a tefach between the top of the body and the top of the aron, so then it blocks it, and it doesn't go above it. And therefore, there's no tumas oil over here. But if there isn't a chalal tefach, then it goes through. It's tumah ritzutza. It blocks right through the. It goes right through the blockage over here at the top. So sheyesh b'chalal tefach chotz b'nei tumah. It blocks it. Sheyesh b'chalal tefach ein chotz b'nei tumah. It doesn't block it. Like I said, the rov aronos yesh b'chalal tefach. You can assume the majority have the space. There's enough space. No, there's going to be an obese guy. There's going to be a coffin that they made a little bit smaller. So that one doesn't. So here you're allowed to go after the rov. So there's no tumah daraisa. And therefore, the rabbis who go, so all of them have tumah, even though they don't halachically d'oraisa have tumah. So it's only tumah d'rabbanan. And again, the rabbi said over here, in order to see what the procession looks like, we'll let you be over d'rabbanan over here. So again, covered abrios, covered amalachim, it's worthwhile. So the rabbis didn't institute the d'rabbanan in this situation, but we're still left intact. We'll continue this tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem, ein chachma v'ein svuna. Neged Hashem, it's a Neged Hashem. So we don't find the place you go against the Daraisa, but there are places for Kavod Abrios, Kavod Amlachim, that you can go against the Darabon. We'll stop over here.